Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Good evening and welcome to this Memorial Day edition of On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. Sean, it's Memorial Day number two in terms of our show.
Yes, and we'd like to send out a Memorial Day thank you to all that serve and for those who paid the ultimate price for the freedoms that we have today. So happy Memorial Day to everybody, and man, hopefully you have had a great day thus far. And having the finest in barbecue, and of course reflecting, man, Sean Wally, it's been a scorcher down here in Northern California, to say the least. Temperatures are around 100 degrees. So for those of you who are out enjoying the family, enjoying the celebration, enjoying the memories, please be safe and hydrate.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely, that's a temperature y'all can keep down there. It's too soon to be in the triple digits for sure. And I know that all over Washington, it's been a nice day. A little bit of rain on the west side, but around 70. And then here on the east side of the state, we're in the 80s. Just perfect weather here for mid to late spring.
Yeah, it is. It's a little bit early. At the same time, you kind of like the sun coming out. And, you know, we're talking about two contrasts on the west coast. But at the same time, you know, a same meaning and reflecting. And so, I mean, how was your Memorial Day so far?
Oh, man, it's been good. I just had a quick dinner barbecue over at some friend's house, and had to leave early to come do the show. And it was, you know, great steak and great food, great company. And, you know, I went out for a run earlier today and seeing the American flags and about, you know, a whole city block, just house after house after house. It was definitely great to see on Memorial Day.
Yeah, it's a special time of the year, of course. Again, as I mentioned before, that time to reflect, and, you know, going into the summer months, and, you know, it's the time where, you know, we as a society, you know, in America, we come together, you know, whatever our, you know, our beliefs or disbeliefs are, you know, we come together and we all have a common goal, and that is to exercise the rights of our freedom. And so it is great to do that, take the time out and pay homage to our veterans, you know, the ones who serve in our great armed forces, and think about those who are lost as well.
Absolutely, and you definitely can't forget those that served in the past to pave the way for the present and the future, and then those serving currently who continue to protect those freedoms that we all share.
No doubt about it. And so, you know, I mean, there's some things going on in the world of sports, Sean Wally. I mean, man, where do we tackle first? I mean, you know, of course, we're talking about the Heat down here in Northern California. But it looks like you can't beat the Heat down in Miami, man, as the Miami Heat are turning it up on the Indiana Pacers early in the third quarter, about 7 minutes, 30 seconds remaining in the third quarter. Heat up 12, 60 to 48, Sean Wally.
And yeah, it's definitely going to be a contest to where, you know, can the Miami Heat continue to sustain? Can they gain that momentum and take hold of it and get to the NBA Finals, which of course is every team's goal, and that super team with the big three down there with Bosch, Wade, and of course LeBron James, and the supporting cast of Ray Allen, Rashard Lewis, and so many others. You know, it's definitely good to see that they play as a team, even though they have all those superstars down there in Miami. It could be a different guy every night that leads that team in scoring or defense with steals, assists, rebounds. You never know who's going to show up.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the beauty of the Miami Heat team. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, dislike, you know, it's funny how society is. People dislike the Miami Heat. Why? Because they're winning. And it's funny because, you know, if they weren't winning, then people wouldn't think anything of it. But, I mean, isn't that the point, is to establish a team, put a team together that can, you know, be able to be successful? And Eric Spoelstra and the Miami Heat have done just that. One of the things that you just mentioned, Sean Wally, is what I was talking about with a group of friends the past couple of days, is with the Miami Heat. You never know who's going to show up and that X factor. And in game three, you know, it looked like it was a close contest for a little while, even though Miami was cruising along. But then that X factor showed up, and the name that you mentioned just a minute ago, Ray Allen, Ray Jesus Shuttlesworth, happened to the Indiana Pacers, nailing 4 3-pointers in the fourth quarter, man. I mean, that was just incredible basketball. And again, you just don't know who's going to show up for the Miami Heat.
Exactly. Their bench is way too deep. They've got a roster that is, you know, previous all-stars up and down that line, and it's tough to stop. Who do you choose? Do you choose to try to double-team LeBron every time he touches the ball? Okay. Then Wade, Bosch, Chalmers, Allen, Lewis, they can all hurt you. So pick your poison.
Yeah, so, you know, the more you try to double-team LeBron James, I mean, this guy went crazy in the first half, 22 points in the first half. I'm sorry, 19 points in the first half. He's got 22 so far. But, you know, that X factor in this game is Chris Bosh with 17 points. And again, you know, we're talking about any of these guys can step up. D. Wade playing tremendous all throughout the playoffs here, you know, and especially since that first round early exit against Charlotte gave D. Wade a chance to rest. And this guy's looking like he's found the fountain of youth. But one of the big things, Sean, is the Indiana Pacers and, you know, just the braggadocious attitude that they had coming into the season, feeling like they were the team to beat. Even though the Miami Heat were the champions, they felt like this was their year. You got Paul George, you know, that he's, you know, having a sensational year. David West, as a matter of fact. But that one pivotal player can actually turn things sour for you. And so far, and that player that I'm talking about is Lance Stephenson for the Indiana Pacers. Coming out the past few days talking about getting in LeBron James' head, can you believe that kind of talk? I mean, can anybody actually get into the greatest player in the NBA or in the world as we speak? And Lance Stephenson spouts off this week. Right now, as we speak, he has 0 points for the game.
Well, what do you have to lose? If you're going up against the current day world's greatest player in the NBA, LeBron James, what do you have to lose trying to get inside his head, trying to change his psyche, trying to get him to think a little bit more? The only bad thing that can come of that is if you light a fire inside of LeBron and King James goes crazy, which he can do at any moment. So I don't know that too much bad can come from that. And the Pacers need a way to get this series even and have a shot and take this deep 6-7 games. Otherwise, it'll be over quick and Miami will move on.
Yeah, well, you definitely answered my question on that. And, you know, that's exactly what Lance Stephenson has done, is he has poked the stick at the, you know, the cage of the tiger. I mean, you know, this, leave it alone. LeBron James was doing well enough by scoring 20-something points a game. Now you've got this guy on fire. He's on target here to score about 36 points a game. Pick somebody else. Pick somebody else to talk about outside of the greatest player in the world. I mean, I just think that it's a dumb move. It's just one of those things that, you know, I hear what you're saying. You're saying, hey, you know, why not take a gamble on it? But, man, don't disturb the giant. Don't disturb the beast. And that's exactly what Lance Stephenson has done. And this is just, you know, something that the Indiana Pacers are going to have to learn as a young basketball team, because this isn't their time. Maybe in a couple of years or so, maybe after the Miami Heat breakup, I don't know. But, you know, you definitely don't want to irritate the greatest player, the greatest basketball player in the world.
No, that's not necessarily a good thing at all. But at the same time, LeBron's not a sleeping giant. He's a giant among men in the NBA, and he's always going to give you 20, 30 points a night. So if maybe that trash talk or somehow finding a way to get inside his head, it could benefit the Pacers, but it definitely could backfire.
Yeah, you know, I mean, on the other note, playing devil's advocate for you, I mean, yeah, they have to try something, because if they lose this game tonight, they're down 3-1. So, I mean, it does call for drastic measures. I just don't think that, you know, that's one of the ways of getting your team motivated. And it was funny, because one of the interviews today with Paul George, he was just kind of saying, hey, you know, Lance is Lance. You know, he kind of says some things that he should keep in house, you know, but hey, you know, we're going to back him. You know, those aren't the kind of words that you want to hear from your star player, as, you know, doing damage control for, you know, one of the players on the team because he can't keep his mouth shut. But, you know, hey, it is what it is. And, you know, Miami Heat are rolling along here. But, you know, there's still time left for the Indiana Pacers.
Well, let's switch and get a few words in on the Western Conference Finals between the Thunder and the Spurs.
Yeah, so, you know, a big game last night. You know, the biggest talk last night was the resurgence of Serge Ibaka coming back into the lineup for the OKC Thunder. And, you know, man, the Thunder definitely put it on the Spurs last night. I mean, it wasn't even close. The final score showed, you know, I believe that, you know, OKC won by 9 or something like that, but the score wasn't, you know, even indicative of, you know, just the beatdown that the Thunder put on the Spurs. And of course, Russell Westbrook, you know, you kind of, you know, get the yin and the yang with him, you know, as far as who's going to show up. He had a sensational game last night. And so now the Thunder are looking at themselves being back into this series down 2-1.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the Spurs, they just never go away. You know, you think the Thunder are the young, the up-and-coming team, and here the Spurs are with some of their veterans, yet they've added a nice mix of the younger players through the draft, through free agency, and they just continue to be that sleeping giant that you just can't get rid of.
Yeah, I just don't think that the Thunder have enough, to be honest with you. I mean, you're mentioning the savvy play, the veteranism of the Spurs, of course, Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, and Parker, and then you're throwing in a new and up and coming superstar, I believe, in the NBA, in Kawan Sugar K. Leonard, as Shaquille O'Neal calls him. I mean, this guy is playing brilliant basketball in the postseason, and you know, I just don't see, you know, anybody in the West coming out but the San Antonio Spurs and the great basketball that they're playing.
So are you going to say that it's going to be the Spurs and the Heat in the NBA Finals in the next week and a half?
Well, as much as people, you know, don't want to see it, I see the Miami Heat winning this one, you know, going all the way and winning the NBA Finals and going after that three-peat. And, you know, Pat Riley will get his second three-peat. But, you know, I do see the rematch of the Spurs and the Heat.
Yeah, that would be a phenomenal series. You've got positives on both sides, the Spurs, the Heat, the tops in the East, the tops in the West, great players all around. That would be a good one for sure.
Yeah, and you think about it, I mean, both teams are well-deserving. This is what they've been looking for. It was a close series last year, and of course, we're talking about Ray Allen earlier. Ray Allen was the one that actually turned the series around for the Miami Heat to win the NBA title last year. And, you know, of course, the San Antonio Spurs have been, you know, biding their time, playing consistent basketball, putting themselves in the position to be in the NBA Finals again. And you know that they have been thinking about this. You know that they have been thinking about, you know, the chance of getting redemption, just like the Indiana Pacers have been looking at this all year. I just don't think that either of these teams are ready to play the Miami Heat, a complete basketball team. And I see a three-peat for the Heat.
Let's get on out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in big time guest number one tonight here on Memorial Day, and welcome in Tri-Cities Fever wide receiver Jackie Chambers of the Indoor Football League. Jackie, thanks for your time on this holiday.
Nah, no problem, sir. No problem.
Hey, Jackie, thanks for being on, man. I know you're taking the time out preparing for this. It looks like the postseason is upon us for you guys. What an excellent game that you guys came upon. I mean, who knew? I mean, we know arena football to be a high-scoring, a fast-paced, type of a game. But the Wyoming Cavalry had no clue that you guys were about to put a C note on them, 94-30 in this past contest, man. Excellent job.
Yes, sir. You know, we we've been looking for a statement game all year, and it came at a time, you know, the offense and defense, well, all three phases of the game is gelling. So, you know, if any team would have played us that day, you know, they would have got this spanking, you know, because, you know, we were so prepared, and we prepared ourselves mentally in practice, you know. So, you know, we mad we got a bye week, but it's well needed, though, for us to, you know, come back, you know, and heal us from our injuries and everything and get ready to finish up the season real strong.
Yeah, most definitely. And, of course, we had one of your teammates on last week in Houston, Lillard. And, you know, through three quarters, he was 12 of 14 for 122 yards and four touchdowns. You know, I mean, you know, you, of course, having, you know, a touchdown along with one of your other teammates, Steve Whitehead, kind of give us an idea on what type of player Houston Lillard is as far as his leadership is concerned for your ball club.
He's a playmaker. You know, he's meticulous in what he's doing on and off the field. He loves film section. He asks questions on and off the field. You know, he's like a coach on the field. He brings it all together. He keeps everybody calm even through our difficult times. You know, he's a great leader. You know, it just rubs off on everybody else. You know, it starts with the quarterback first, and then the team follows. And, you know, you see the display of our game. Since he's been here, we only lost one game since he started. So, you know, it would have been good if we had him, you know, saying the start of the season. But, hey, we got him now. So, you know, we working with what we got now.
Now, Jackie, let's talk about the difference in the first half of the season, about four or five games before Houston Lillard returned to the Fever. And then since then, things have been lights out, and you've been winning many more games than you've been losing. You've won three straight, and you're fighting for that final playoff spot in the Intense Conference.
Yeah, I know. The beginning of the season, it was just injuries. It's just injuries and, you know, new guys trying to come in and sit in the system and everything. It was a learning process, but it was also injuries, you know, that deteriorate us from having a slow start. So the injuries the first part of the first half of the season was, you know what I'm saying, was the indicator of us having a slow start.
Now, with that 1-5 start to the season, how did you guys keep things together in the locker room? Was it Coach Shackelford? Was it assistant coach? Was it players stepping up like yourself being leaders?
Yeah, we had a team meeting, and we put it on the line, and we was like, you know, this is not, of course, this is not the Fever way of, you know what I'm saying, losing, you know what I'm saying, not perfect, but losing, well, four straight games in a row, that wasn't us, especially from a competitive standpoint for me and the other teams individually. It was like, we didn't know what we needed to do, so we just came up and had a team meeting, and we just, you know, got in each other's chests and really said what was on our hearts, and everything just came together.
Now, Jackie, one of the things that, you know, you're talking about the ups and downs of the season, Sean was just mentioning that, you know, I think one of the big turnarounds for you guys was, you know, against the Nebraska Danger. At the time, you guys had just lost the game in overtime 66-62. That was a pivotal game for you. I mean, man, you had two rushing touchdowns, I believe, and two passing touchdowns, you know, in a tough defeat. You know, Sean was talking about that locker room talk. Kind of give us an idea on what was going on then as far as that transition, because right after that, you guys started going on a winning streak.
Yeah, we came up short that Nebraska game, but that was the start of us, you know what I'm saying, clicking as all unit or all three phases of the game. But it showed that game. Eventually, we came up short. But that game right there, you know what I'm saying, started our momentum of, you know what I'm saying, on our winning streak we on now, because we figured out what we needed to do from that game. And because, you know what I'm saying, that's like right after the we had our talk, we played against Colorado away or home. Home, yeah, we played a Colorado home. And that win there was, you know what I'm saying, off, I think, aggression of us having that locker room talk. And then we went on ahead and had a close win against Bemidji when we was down two touchdowns. And that showed our togetherness right there, because we were down two touchdowns with 4 minutes left to go, with 3 minutes left to go on the clock. And we came back and we pulled out that game. So it wasn't necessarily in the Nebraska game. It was, you know, I think it was that talk we had that just brought us all together to be like, hey, you know what I'm saying, we are better than this. We got, you know what I'm saying, much as talented as any team in this league is even more. So, you know, it, I think that Bemidji game, that fourth quarter, we realized that we can play against anybody. And we can lay it all on the line. So that Bemidji game fourth quarter showed we came together as a team.
Yeah, and definitely for those who don't follow the IFL, the Bemidji game, I believe that was a 51-50 win, and you guys really gutted that one out. And that was the Believers game after, you know, the loss with the Nebraska Danger. And so, yeah, definitely, and that was a turn for the better. Now the preparation for, you know, arena football is a lot different. I mean, kind of give us an idea of the situational things that you go through, because it's a short field. Something tells me that you have to think a little further in advance because of the high scoring aspect of arena football. Am I correct?
Well, the preparation isn't that different from the outdoor game. You know, you still got to watch them on your opponent. Do that, you know, the field is 50 yards long, but hey, everything happens real fast, so your reaction time has to be real quick. Even in the outdoor game, too, everything has to be off of reaction. So the preparation isn't that different. It's just, it's football. You know, you watch your opponent, you scheme what they're doing, you know, see what type of defenses or offenses they are in. And, you know, you just try to scheme around it. So it's really, the preparation isn't that different from the outdoor game.
Jackie Chambers joining us, wide receiver for the IFL's Tri-Cities Fever. And, Jackie, what do you think the keys are? You got two games left. You've got the bye week coming up to let everybody rest, relax, and heal up. And then you have another key game down, a home-and-home series with Wyoming. Now you're down in Wyoming in two weekends. And then, of course, if you win that game leading up to the home finale against Colorado, which could be for the final playoff spot.
Yeah, we don't want to really think ahead because, you know, we still got Wyoming, even though we – once I put a good weapon on them, you know, that won't sit well with a player, especially with a competitive player like me. So I know, and we're playing them at home. So, you know, we did what we needed to do at home. So I think they want to put up a good fight at their home plate. But, you know, it's inevitable. We have to look ahead as well, too, because, you know, that final playoff spot is staying between us and Colorado. And we got them our last home game. So, but we just taking it one week at a time. So we got this bye week right here to think about both Wyoming and Colorado. So then when we got to work with Colorado, we just strictly focused on Wyoming until we play against Colorado.
Now, Jackie, talk about what it's like going from college football to the professional ranks, be it the IFL, the AFL, or even on further to the NFL. What type of mental and physical preparation and differences are there from the college game to where you're at now in the IFL?
Well, my preparation... the transition is what it wasn't really that different, you know. You just got to, you know what I'm saying? You basically seem like you're on your own, because in college, you know what I mean, you have a set schedule from, you know what I'm saying, what you need to do, some class, to weight room, to practice. And when you get professional, you're on your own. You have to, you know what I'm saying, do workouts on your own. You know, you have your OTAs and everything, but during the off season, you have to, you know what I'm saying, stay in top shape, because, you know, you have a lot of football players and athletes coming in trying to take your position. So you got to be one step ahead of them. You know, your preparation got to be four or five, even six times harder than the next man, because, you know, everybody is coming in every day doing this football.
Jackie Chambers, kind enough to join us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And, you know, Jackie, kind of give us an idea on, you know, how it came about a couple of years ago, you know, for you to join the Fever.
Oh, yeah, I just got released from the CFL, and I decided to go back to school, and me and my fiance, we moved up to New York, and I had graduated that year. I got my bachelor's degree in sociology. Then I came up to New York, and I was just going to start my life there. Then I was on Facebook, because me and Whitehead, We came close, because we was in a mini camp at the New Orleans Saints. And, you know, we exchanged each other's number. And Whitehead was out here before me in 2011. And he told Coach Shaq about me. And then me and Coach Shaq communicated over Facebook. And I came in, six games during the season. And he signed me, and we went to the championship that year. And since then, you know, if Coach Shaq needed me to play, if I wasn't playing ball, but I played AFL ball as well, too, so in 2012. But I played on my the majority of my professional career in Washington State with Tri-City Chiefs.
You know, I wonder if the IFL knows.
I apologize. We're watching the Heat game over here.
Yeah. LeBron James just did something spectacular there.
Yeah, I know. I'm in the back room, and I hear my boy saying, and I got to come out here and see what happened.
Man, so it sounds like you're double dipping here, being on the show
taking a chance. Yeah, he just done it. Okay, yeah.
Anything happens here on the Double with the Double S Express, Jackie Chambers, in an interview, going crazy over a LeBron James fast break dunk. I love it, man. I love it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, you know, we're here watching the game, so I'm giving you this interview while watching the game. I can multitask.
So, yeah, man, so I was just getting ready to ask you. You had mentioned the social media aspect on finding the fever. And so, you know, I was wondering if, you know, that the media crew of the IFL actually knew what they were doing when they were putting information on the social media like that.
Yeah, so the media crew.
So the media actually for the Fever, the Tri-Cities Fever, I mean, that's excellent. That's, you know, that they put that out there, and you and Whitehead were actually, you know, getting, you know, talking to each other and came across the Fever.
Yeah. But he got picked up out here first, and you know, we just stayed in contact with each other, and he wanted to get me out here with him as well too, so we make a good 1-2 punch. As you can see now on the field, the cornerbacks don't know what to do with me and him in motion.
Jackie, what does it take to go from the high school rank in football to the college rank and now to the professional rank? What are some keys to get some young athletes to that next level?
Hard work, dedication, and discipline. Those what I do what I live by. Hard work, dedication. You got to be dedicated to your craft, and discipline, because no one don't want no headache.
Now, Jackie, that sounds.
Sir.
Yeah, that sounds like something that you learned, like maybe, you know, at an earlier part of your career. You know, the hard work, dedication,
and
discipline.
Paul Warner.
That sounds like. Definitely. I mean, and that's what's propelled you to this level here. That is great.
Yeah, I know. And that's why I preach that through my work ethic. You know, I lead with my work ethic, and I try not to lead by words, but by example.
All right, Jackie Chambers, wide receiver for the Tri-Cities Fever in the Indoor Football League. We're going to let you get back to LeBron James and the NBA Eastern Conference Finals.
Miami Heat versus the Indiana Pacers. LeBron James is on the Miami Heat. Well, I'm a Miami Heat fan, so most people are LeBron James fan. I am a true Miami Heat fan. If he got Miami CrossFit jersey, I'm rooting for him.
Man, that's some good stuff, man. I know that you're looking on, you know, your Miami Heat right now, and it looks like they're cruising along. All they got to do is make sure that they don't get injured. And actually, I'm looking at Ray Allen right now.
Yeah, I am too.
Kind of limping up. But hey, Jackie, hey, thanks for being on the show, man. And, you know, good luck to you. I know you guys will definitely do what it takes to make it to the postseason. And of course, you've got a couple of weeks to actually fine tune things. But again, good luck to you guys.
I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Jackie, thanks for your time tonight. Best of luck with the week off, and go get him in Wyoming.
Thank you, sir.
There goes Jackie Chambers of the IFL's Tri-Cities Fever, wide receiver. He's in great shape, takes great care of his body, does good things on the field for the Fever, who are definitely streaking here in 2014.
Man, I tell you never know what you're going to get when you're listening on the Double with the Double S Express. And of course, we go against high ratings, you know, as far as the NBA Finals or any sport is concerned, and the Miami Heat are definitely one of those that are of high demand. But of course, people take the time out to be on the Double, Sean Wally.
Oh, absolutely. It's, you know, that's what you have to deal with live radio, and there's still things going on outside of the world besides our show, and you have to figure out a way to get to both of them. And when we come back, a huge guest, big time guest number two, known greatly to Sean Boyd, and that is Chaminade University's basketball definitely guard. That is Devon Boyd coming up after this on The Double with the Double S Express.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to Andro400.com. Andro400.com.
Welcome back to On the Double with Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
On this Memorial Day, what better than some Born in the USA, Bruce Springsteen, as we welcome you back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. And we'll go right back out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in big time guest number two tonight, and that is Devon Boyd, Chaminade University basketball player. Devon, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. Just enjoying being home with the family and coming back from Hawaii for my first year of college.
Man, so speaking of that, and you know, this is a great time for me. And of course, I had one of my other sons on the show, and this, I love getting a chance to sit down and talk one to one with, you know, with my boys. But, you know, Devon, kind of give us an idea on that first year. Of course, you know, you redshirted this year, but it sounds like Coach Bavard was, you know, did a very good job in taking care of you and taking you along on the trips. The team finished 19-13, which was positive. And of course, you guys went to the NCAA tournament with the loss to UC San Bernardino. But tell us what your visions are going forward here with the Chaminade Silver Swords.
This first year I decided to red shirt, and my head coach, Eric Bavard, you know, we sat down and we had a meeting, and he told me his plans that he had for me for the future. And he was just saying, you know, if you trust me on this one, because we had a few upperclassmen guards, and he was telling me that my playing time may be slim. So he asked me if I wanted a red shirt. I agreed, and I trusted him on this one. He put me through a regimen with weights and also just skill workouts for my development year, and also got to see the speed of the game, realize, you know, what type of things I can do on the floor for next year. And that's just a transition that I believe that I can handle, especially with school. And he decided to let me tag along with the team on our last road trip when we headed to San Bernardino. And it was a great experience. I enjoyed it, especially to come back to California on the mainland, and as well as being in a NCAA Division II tournament type of setting. So the crowd was great in San Bernardino, and it was just a great experience. And, yeah, I enjoyed it.
And so, Devon, you know, we have a lot of listeners on the show, and, of course, you know, some of them are very well basketball players. Some might be high school basketball players. You know, kind of give these guys an idea on what your mindset was like. Obviously, it isn't fun. I mean, when you go to college, you want to play right out the gate. And, you know, when you come across what's a, you know, what's a red shirt year, you had to go through some things. I'm thinking, so kind of share with us a little bit on how you made the ship right and how you turned that into a positive going forward.
Well, yeah, of course it's a hard thing because, of course, when you come in your freshman year, you know, you're expecting to play. And that's one thing that all of us basketball players want to do, and especially with your competitive nature as an athlete alone. You want to play and be on the court. So coming in, you know, I was expecting to get some playing time, and I was hoping that, you know, this year would go smooth. I'd have a great first freshman year. But it just didn't go that way, and I just had to sit down, of course, talk to my parents, some coaches, some mentors as well, and deciding the red shirt. It was a humbling experience, but I don't regret it because throughout this year, I definitely got to see the ropes of the game and just be able to develop. And that's the thing that we all have to realize is that it's all about the development and what's best for us. So it was a business decision, and I agreed with it.
Now, Devon, you put faith in your head coach there at Chaminade and believing in what the vision he had for you. Now, did you see throughout the year that he was rewarding your faith in him?
Yeah, I think so, because me and Coach Bavere, we have a great relationship. We have a few meetings here and there very often throughout the year just to see where each other's mindsets are. And he let me know, like, you know, he has a lot of faith in me. I have a lot of faith with him. I agree with his philosophy for the way that he coaches. And his style of play, you know, I think I could be successful with his coaching strategies and the things that he does on the floor. So, we just had to have a mutual agreement, and, it was great.
That's the voice of Chaminade's men's basketball guard, Devon Boyd, with us here on the Double with the Double S Express Memorial Day Edition. And, Devon, you talked about the differences a little bit with the speed of the game between high school and now at the college level. Thinking back to your days at Sacramento High School and now out in Chaminade, and you're watching every game from the bench, rooting on your team, what are those differences, and were you surprised at the speed of the game at the college level versus what it was like for you in high school?
Of course, there's a big difference. And from high school to college, the speed is just way faster. There's guys that will be guarding that is about 6'4 and above, and they can be a point guard. And the thing is that you need to adapt because, as well, the big men in the paint, they're big as well. They have long arms, big wingspan. So you have to adapt to how you're going to get your shot off in the key, how you're going to be able to penetrate and make a decision, and just things like that, and as well as being in great shape. Because in high school, if you're a talented player, you can take off a few plays and be able to, you know, kind of catch your breath. But with this, you always have to, with college basketball, you always have to be on your toes and seeing where everything is and the transition from defense to offense and just digging down in defense and being able to come down on the other floor and make a play. So the speed is definitely different. Everybody is fast. So you definitely have to come prepared with a mindset that I'm not going to be that guy that's going to get beat out.
Now, Devon, those are very key points that you're mentioning. And, of course, you know, when you go to the collegiate level such as yourself, you know, there's a fine line between Chaminade University, who is a Division II university, in contrast to the Division I. Some think that there's a stark difference. Chaminade proves differently, and that goes all the way back to 1979 when Chaminade defeated the Virginia Cavaliers and Ralph Sampson. And I know Coach Brevard always answers to that question at some point or another. Or I'm sorry, I believe I said 79, I believe it was around 82. But now you guys host the Maui Invitational. And year in and year out, you have the best Division I schools that come to Maui. And this year isn't any different. You have Arizona coming in, Kansas State, Purdue, San Diego State, which I believe is going to be a top 5 team in the country, Missouri, Pitt, and BYU. How do you prepare for that? You know, especially at the, you know, at the beginning of the season.
Well, we just all gathered around and, you know, we have a conversation with coach and we just huddle together and we just tell each other, you know, we're just going to go out there and we're just going to play. We're not going to worry about what the analysts are saying on ESPN or what people are talking about on the radio. And for all the preparation, we're just saying we're just going to go out there, play our game. We're already the underdogs, so we have nothing to lose. We're playing against the top Division I teams in the country, some lottery picks for the next NBA draft. So we feel a little bit of pressure, but after all, we're just trying to go out there and represent Chaminade Silver Swords.
Yeah, and Coach Brevard, he's the type of coach coming from West Liberty, the university, and of course they like to put up a lot of numbers, and Chaminade is no different. You guys put up a lot of shots, you know, and so, you know, with Chaminade beating Oklahoma, you know, a couple of years ago, then Texas, you know, you guys had Baylor this year. You're almost Big 12 beaters, which kind of sets it up. I don't know what the schedule looks like so far, but I believe Kansas State might be on the slot since you guys love beating up on the Big 12.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to who we're going to be battling with in the first round. And one thing is that some of these Division I teams, they're not used to playing a team that gets up a lot of shots and has a lot of shooters. Coach Bevere, he recruits players that can handle the ball, shoot from the three-point line, and also drive and make plays. And our team, mostly all of our players, can do all of those things during a game. So I think that some of those Division I teams are kind of surprised. And in the first round we played Baylor, I think we kind of had them on their toes because we were up on them at half. And unfortunately, we ended up losing. But it just shows that the difference between a Division II team and a very good Division II team and a Division I, there is a difference. But if you just come out and play, then it's anyone's ball game.
No doubt about it. And I believe that you guys are going to do a great job this year. And, you know, we had talked about Coach Brevard, and he's a different kind of a coach. I mean, he's the coach that, you know, rolls up his sleeves. And from what you've told me, I mean, you guys have some great shootouts, you know, at the end of practice. And so he's not just talking about it. He's being about it. You guys are putting up, what, about 100, 200 shots at the end of practice? Have you won any of these contests against Coach?
Well, unfortunately, not yet. Yeah, we have a little game that me and Coach go one-on-one, and he calls me out, you know, because he still has it. He still gets his work in the gym as well. So, you know, a few times after practice this year, he called me out and said, you know, Devon, come on, let's play the best out of 103s. And I'd be playing them, and after a while, he'd just get hotter and hotter, and he'll go for about 10 or 12 straight. And yeah, so he'll tell me, like, hey, continue to keep putting shots up. He was like, I'd hate to put a whooping on you like that, but, yeah, unfortunately, it's not the best thing to lose to your head coach, but next year I will be coming back, and I'm gonna try to get a win under my belt.
There you go.
Now, Devon, think back to when you left the Elk Grove, Sacramento area with your father helping you get over to Hawaii, and you make that first trek, and, you know, dad leaves to head home to return to life, and you're left at Chaminade University to begin not only your college schooling, but your basketball career. How much have you learned in the last school year from what you knew back then?
I learned a lot, and I have some great guards that are upperclassmen that have taught me some things. For one, Christoph Verdell, he was a junior guard, and he has one more year. Unfortunately, he ended up transferring to University of Alabama University. But yeah, he gave me some insight on the game because he was very experienced. Another one of my guards that taught me some things is Lee Bailey. He's from Detroit, Michigan. He's going to be a senior this year. So, you know, they just coming in, they taught me some things of being a true point guard. And that's one thing that I just need to keep learning and learning my craft. and just with decision making, how to set up play and defensive wise, you know, how to lure the offensive man into what you want him to do. And just simple things like that that can help me with my game and make me progress throouthmy years of being at Chaminade.
Now, Devon, do you have any idea when you have your meetings and you talk with Coach Bevard as to what your role is going to be on the floor in the 2014-2015 season upcoming?
Yes. Well, before I headed back home for my summer vacation, we had our last meeting. And we sat down for about a good 30 to 40 minutes just talking. And he gave me a lot of insight, what he expects from me next year, and what I have to do in order to fulfill these goals that he has for me next year. And one of the things that I've done is just writing down goals, short-term and long-term, and trying to exceed these goals. And me and Coach Rivera, we talked about how he wants me to be a guard that makes good decisions, can score. He knows that I'm good with the ball, and I can get past my defender. And as well as just improving with my with shooting, he tells all of us, continue to put up shots, get in the best shape of your life, because that's one thing. We're a running gun team. You have to be in shape. And he expects me to come in next year faster, stronger. He gave us weightlifting goals, and I'm pretty much close to getting to those goals already. And it's just. And he expects me to just come back as a dominant guard. He knows that I had this redshirt season to develop, and I took it all in, experienced it, and I'm ready to come back next year stronger than I've ever been.
And Devon, there's no doubt about it that, you know, that we believe that you're definitely going to do just that. You know, there's another aspect, Devon. Of course, you know, flying over to Honolulu, and you've made a couple of trips. You know, the acclimation, you know, what's it been like actually, you know, leaving the mainland and then, you know, going on to, you know, an island of paradise and making that transition into being a local in Honolulu?
Yeah, it's very different, especially with the long flight. It's about 5.5 hours, 6 hours at times. And you're coming in with a time difference. And we're 3 hours behind Pacific time. And just coming in, and you have to adapt to the culture. And when I got there, you know, there's a little bit of different talking with the slang and the way that they live. And you're coming in as well with a lot of tourists around, because it is a city that a lot of people from all over the world like to come and visit. And it was just a different type of environment, but I enjoyed it. I was able to be open to different things as well. Being able to go to the beach often, you know, in the Sacramento Valley, there isn't a beach around. So that's kind of great to be able to hop in some waves, enjoy the sun, and as well as just adapting to the culture, like I said. And, yeah, I enjoy it. I love living in Hawaii. It's a great experience, and you can just be open to different things and meeting people from all over the mainland.
You know, one of those things, Devon, that you were talking about, you know, you and I were talking about is, you know, one of your classes, you had, I believe this was a class that you said that you went out and snorkeled. Did I get that correct?
Yeah, it was actually for my environmental class, environmental science class. And, you know, my professor, she was a great professor, and she loved to go on hikes and be very environmental. She didn't just want to be in the classroom in the lab. She also wanted to take you and be there firsthand. And she took us on about 4 to 5 hikes this year. We climbed a mountain. We went snorkeling. We studied about fish, and we were able to, you know, see that up close and personal. And that's one thing that I appreciate about living in Hawaii is that you have the opportunity to be able to experience things like that on going on hikes and swimming and just experiencing different types of things. And I'm very grateful.
All right, Devon, we're going to allow Sean Boyd here, my co-host and a guy you know well as your father. We're going to mute his microphone. He's going to take a water break, take a second to collect his thoughts. And Devon, you and I are going to talk right now, one-on-one, athletes to, you know, a guy that knows you a little bit and has had some time with you. And what was it like growing up with a father that was also a coach of multi-sports, including basketball, which was one of the sports that you excelled in, and that's now what you are achieving in the collegiate level with? Were there times it was tough? Was it just great? Everything was always roses? How did it go growing up with a father that was also a coach?
Man, having a coach in the house, it was a good ride. Throughout when I was young, all the way going into high school, middle school even, and just throughout the years, he always gave me insight on the game. He challenged me. He just pushed me to be a better man, a better son, and an athlete. And, you know, sometimes you don't want to hear it, but there's always constructive criticism. But without any constructive criticism, how are you going to get better? And he always provided me with that, and I appreciate it, because you always have to have somebody in your corner pushing for you and also being your number one fan at the same time. And that's one thing throughout all the years. He just remained to be my number one fan, along with my mom and my siblings. And it's just always great to have a great support system. And now, since I look back at it, I truly, truly appreciate it on what everything that he has done, from driving all over the country just to get to tournaments every weekend, and paying for me to go to camps, and those are just things that are just very vital for me throughout my career that has gotten me where I am today. And I appreciate it, and that everything he's done for me, and it's all love.
Well, Devon, those are great words from you to your father, your family, that has helped pave the path to where you're at today. And you know, it's Memorial Day, so a great time to hear those words, and much continued success to you, sir, and definitely continue to hit the books and the beaches, like I've told you a year ago, and best of luck to you on the basketball court, and have a great summer with your family, and we'll talk to you down the road. Appreciate your time tonight here on The Double with the Double S Express.
All right, thank you. Thanks for having me.
There goes Devon Boyd, son to co-host Sean Boyd here on The Double with the Double S Express. A great Memorial Day that Sean Boyd and Devon Boyd will never, ever forget.
Man, yeah, it was a good thing that my mic was muted, man. I mean, that, you know, those are cool things. And you know, all I ask, you know, for my boys is to, you know, to give their, or my kids, is to give 110%. And, you know, these guys do. They go out there and they take care of business, and you know, as a parent, all you want is you want them to have more than you ever had. And so, you know, the key is as being a parent like that, is you can't push. You can't, you know, make them do something that they don't want to do. And, you know, that's the tough part. And all I did was I found what these guys liked when they were young, and, you know, didn't push them, didn't make them do it. You know, I just, you know, it had to come natural. And then when that happy medium comes about, then you can start to talk about, you know, guiding them into the right direction. And so, you know, I'm proud of every last one of my kids. And, you know, Devon is just going to do some awesome things at Chaminade University. As you can tell, Sean Wally has a great head on his shoulders. And, you know, guys, look out for him. You're going to be reading about him, some positive things, you know, in the NCAA.
And I do believe there is an entire household in Elk Grove, California, that is setting their sights on joining Devon in Hawaii for the EA Sports Invitational come, what, November?
Yeah, you know, and that's the bittersweet part. So we're going to be in Maui, and we're going to be, you know, we're going to watch Devon play in the Maui Invitational with all the NCAA teams that we're talking about. The bitter part is, you know, there's a huge game that's going on that Thursday in the NFL, and that is the Seattle Seahawks coming into town in San Francisco to take on the 49ers at Buttonfly Stadium.
I know, 501 Stadium, man. I saw that and I was like, that's awesome, but gosh, Sean's not going to be in town, and what's the point of me trying to work it if he's not around?
But yeah, hey, we'll make sure that we bring back some, you know, something precious from the islands. But yeah, man, have fun. You know, that should be a great game to work, man. I mean, you know, that, of course, that's going to be a Fox. You know, well, that's an NFL Network game. Am I right?
You know, I think I've heard that it's the third game on Thanksgiving that it might go to NBC for whatever weird reason.
Mm. Yeah, hey, that would be a great one to be on national television on NBC. But yeah, man, I'm going to be over there in the tropics, you know, having some fun.
So, Sean, what real quick reaction, what did that mean to you to have your second son as a guest on the Double with the Double S Express?
You know, it's great. Psychologically, it's awesome just for the fact that, you know, you're, as I was mentioning earlier, you're going through the parenting and the child rearing and you know, watching your child develop. And it's very great to actually hear hear it back to you how they appreciate things, you know, because you don't have those conversations all the time. And you know, so that's, you know, that was fun. That was fun to actually get a chance to hear my son reflect on who he is and what he plans on doing. And man, I'm bought in. And just like he said, man, you know, I'm his number one fan. And I've told him that, you know, I tell my boys that, hey, I'm your number one fan. I'm there for you. And so, you know, to hear that back, that means that he's listening, and that means that he's going out and doing some great things. And man, I look forward to a bright future with him and with all my kids. So,
you know, it was a handful of years ago, and I'm sure your kids will remember this, and maybe you and the wife as well. You guys were not at the house. It was, I believe, around one of their birthday times. I dropped off a stack of video games in front of your door, and you know, it was the old Santa Claus, Secret Santa, drop it off, run away. And you're, you know, you guys had, maybe it was the kids on their own, I'm not sure, but you know, they called me and thanked me, and you know, it was just, I didn't expect anything from it. It was something I did to hopefully enrich their life and have them have some fun. And you know, they were kind enough to call me and thank me and appreciate what I had given. And, you know, that was great. And I've not forgotten that in all these years.
Well, yeah, of course, you know, your family. And so that's, you know, these guys have been taught right. And so, you know, they appreciate everything that comes their way, and they use it, everything that comes their way, as a stepping stone to become better. And so, you know, I am, you know, again, looking forward to these guys. And you know, and seeing how they produce and what comes forth, man. So some exciting times.
All right, keep it locked here on the Double. As we come back after the break, we will talk about a no-hitter yesterday, a near no-hitter tonight for the exact same team. How crazy is that? And more as what's going on in the sports world here on the Double with the Double S Express Memorial Day edition. Stick around.
Likes the inconvenience of car repairs. Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret, a new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product. Helped me a lot. Took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Welcome back to On the Double with Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, this Memorial Day edition, show 54, Sean Boyd. It's been a good one.
Yeah, excellent show. Of course, having Jackie Chambers on of the Tri-Cities Fever, our first guest on the show. And, of course, a sentimental favorite for me, guest number two from Chaminade University, point guard extraordinaire Devon Boyd, giving us some insight on the transition from high school to college and you know, what to look forward to, you know, when you're playing against the big boys, the Division Ones.
Yeah, and that's what we try to do here on the show is bring you good insight and get you inside the game and inside, you know, the players' heads, the coaches' heads. What are they thinking? What process do they go through to get to that level of excellence?
Man, and there are a lot of things, you know, a lot of variables that go into it. And of course, for Devon, you know, his preparation, it's not like he's just going to college, you know, on the mainland. And, you know, he's going to school over in Honolulu, you know, having to make that transition on you know, time zone changes and climate and, you know, different culture. And so, you know, when you put all those things together along with what your task is at hand, and like you always say, Sean, is to go to school, get good grades and have a great education and play basketball. You know, it makes it tough to focus. And, you know, it's great to hear Devon because it sounds like he definitely has it down, having his head on straight and getting things right.
Yeah, and that's key to his success in the college ranks. And, you know, the first order of business is the grades. If you don't have the grades, guess what? You're not going to play on game day. So you get that right. And while you're doing that, at the same time, perfect your craft on the basketball court.
Yeah, and that, you know, that's key because, you know, the greatest of athletes that, you know, sometimes wind up falling by the wayside because they just don't have the full gamut of the college experience downright. And so, you know, when I'm talking to Devon and I'm, you know, seeing and doing a check to see if he actually has that, he definitely does, man. And of course, that will bring him opportunities beyond belief going forward.
Now, Sean, I don't know if you're aware, but yesterday there was a no-hitter in Major League Baseball, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Pitcher Josh Beckett had a no-hitter, I believe, against the Phillies. And here we are on Memorial Day, another game for the Dodgers. This time they are against the Cincinnati Reds. And their starter, if I can pronounce this right, props to me, Gold Star. Hyun-Jin Ryu had a perfect game into the eighth inning, and he just lost it. So the Dodgers were so close to back no-hitters. Unbelievable.
Yeah, you did a great job. And Hyun-Jin is, definitely one of these up-and-coming pitchers. But, man, just going back to the brilliant no-hitter special that Josh Beckett put on yesterday, I mean, man, everything was going his way. The pitches were, the batters were hitting, you know, early in the count. He was getting the ground ball outs. They were routine outs. And then, of course, the way he ended the game with, you know, striking out. It's skipping me right now who the batter was. But, man, it was brilliant on how he struck out the last batter to get the no-hitter. And, of course, as you're saying today with, Hyun-Jin Ryu, God, now I'm fumbling with it, you know, having a great, great ball game today as well. The Dodgers are, you know, having a great series here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anytime you have a chance at not one, but two no-hitters in 2 days, that's unheard of. And what's crazy now is the Dodgers are back home in L.A. against the Reds, and they're trying to hang on to this lead. It's 4-3 now. The Reds scored three runs after being no-hit through seven innings, and they scored three in the eighth.
Man, when the floodgates open, they open vastly. And so, you know, the Dodgers are, you know, they're still trying to find themselves in the NL West. And, of course, they're looking up at the San Francisco Giants out here in the Bay. And, you know, but, you know, there's still a lot of time. And, of course, as we know, it's early in the season. You know, don't count them out. Don't count the Dodgers out one bit. It's just going to take, you know, a little bit of consistency for them, you know, to right this ship. But, you know, we're having a great season. You know, looking at Yosel Puig, he's batting, I believe, .345 on the season right now. And he was one of those guys that they were, you know, they had a question mark on. I mean, we know he has power. His defensive prowess is something that is, you know, needs to be desired. He gambles a little too much when he's out in the field. But, you know, once you have him having some great consistency, and then, you know, Kemp, of course, being on the injured list once again, maybe when he comes back, I don't know, what's the status on Kemp? Is he gone for a long time?
Wow, you're putting me under the microscope on that one.
I
don't see any headlines on him, so... Whew.
I think he's out for, you know, quite a bit. So I think, you know, you're looking at another at least 3 to 4 weeks before he sees the field. But, you know, the Dodgers are doing a great job, you know, despite injury and a little bit of inconsistency in the latter parts of their batting lineup. But, you know, yeah, we're talking about their pitching. It looks like that's coming together, except for the three runs here in the eighth, Sean Wally.
Well, on this Memorial Day, teams close to your proximity, you mentioned the San Francisco Giants. They lost today, losing at home to the Chicago Cubs, 8-4. The Cubs doubled up the Giants. And then, of course, across the bay, the Oakland A's, holy smokes, putting a whooping on the Tigers of Detroit, 10-0.
Yeah, you know, being out here in Northern California, the talk is, you know, the San Francisco Giants, let's face it, over the past 5 years, you know, have a lot of bragging rights, not just in Northern California, but all around Major League Baseball, having two World Series in that amount of time. You know, but the Oakland A's have put together some great consistency as well over the years, having, you know, three straight AL West championships, you know, but not being able to get out of the first round. You know, the Athletics today and the Giants are touting, you know, two of the best records in the majors. The Athletics, you know, kind of coming off some shaky ground after, you know, playing against the Toronto Blue Jays and being swept, you know, in that series, this past series. And now, you know, getting this win today is true tonic, you know, for the victory and, you know, for winning for the Oakland A's.
Yeah, they're doing good things there in Oakland, and they continue to take Moneyball and run with it, and they don't spend a premium on any of their players, and they continue to have young guys that are hungry, that are playing well, and they want to reach the pinnacle of Major League Baseball's perfection and hone their game and eventually sign that big contract somewhere, which more than likely for the last few years, the guys start in Oakland, get good, and then they end up leaving because Billy Bean has guys in the pipeline in the minors to come up and fill their spot at a cheaper price.
Yeah, you know, Sean, and it's a strong testament, as you're saying, to their minor league farm clubs. And of course, one of them being the Sacramento Rivercats. And if you haven't been paying attention to that, and I know there's a great AAA farm club up in the Northwest in the Tacoma Rainiers, but there are talks with the Rivercats actually leaving affiliation with the Oakland A's and jumping ship to the San Francisco Giants. Now, I don't know how big of an issue that would be as far as, you know, the talent pool that the A's pull from, but I know that the San Francisco Giants have their AAA affiliate down in Fresno. And so if the two were to flip, I mean, I don't know what that would do, you know, with the organizations. I'm thinking that, you know, if the players stayed the same, that it would only be a benefit for the San Francisco Giants.
Well, you know, either way, Sacramento to Fresno, neither of those are huge differences in miles and in time and travel. What I can relate that to up here in the Northwest is, if you probably remember when back in the day when the Tacoma minor league team was the Tigers that was affiliated with those Oakland A's in AAA baseball.
Yeah, and I do remember.
The Seattle Mariner AAA club was all the way in Calgary, Canada. And that was really tough for the general manager, the scouts, to get to games in Calgary. And it took, you know, half a day or more to get there. And it wasn't the best proximal way to have your top farm club. And when the Tigers left Tacoma and left their affiliation with Tacoma, Seattle swooped in and moved their AAA farm club from Calgary to Tacoma, and now they're 20, 30 minutes apart. And so it's ideal. So really, Sacramento and Fresno, either way, obviously Sacramento's a hair closer, I believe. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But both of those are within an hour or two of their major league affiliates.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, it is. It's a hair's difference. You know, it's just the city of Sacramento. What is their preference? You know, I believe that it's a bonus for Sacramento because I think that there are slightly more San Francisco Giant fans than Oakland A fans. I mean, I could be wrong on that. I'm sure, you know, I'm going to get a lot of emails that tell me, you know, otherwise. But, yeah, it is close. And I do remember. I do remember the Tacoma Tigers, you know, being affiliated with the Oakland A's. I remember the chance of getting the chance to see Jose Canseco and Mark McGwire when they were skinny. I'll just leave it at that. You know, and getting out and watching them play. I also remember, I'm a little older than you, Sean Wally. I do remember the Tacoma Tugs and the Tacoma Cubs, which was actually an affiliate of the Chicago Cubs. And so I think at the time, you know, I don't know how in the world the Cubs got to have a AAA affiliate out in Tacoma, but man, those were some times that, you know, kind of it leaves you scratching your head on what was the reasoning for that.
Well, the stadium for AAA baseball in Tacoma, Cheney Stadium, right there off of Highway 16 that you and I know well, it went through a huge refurbish, re-energization. A lot of money was put into it by the owners as well as the city, and it is one of the better ballparks in AAA baseball, and I haven't been there since they've reopened the doors to the new updated venue, and I know you haven't, being down in the 916, and you know, one of these days the Double S has to get there and show everybody what things are like now in Tacoma. It's definitely much different than when we remember it a few years ago.
Yeah, you know, Tacoma has put, or actually the Mariners organization has put a lot of, and invested a lot into the Tacoma Rainiers, and it does show. It's a beautiful ballpark. You know, there is a relationship that in the Puget Sound, you know, between the Tacoma team and the Seattle team, which brings the crowds out, and that's the reason why you want to have your AAA farm clubs close to your major league cities. And so, you know, it's a great, you know, great feeling in Tacoma, and you know, they get a chance to see some of the, you know, up and coming players, and maybe, you know, a superstar from Seattle goes down and plays AAA in Tacoma, you know, because of a minor injury. But, you know, yeah, Cheney Stadium is definitely one of the jewels in AAA all around the country.
Now, Sean, speaking of developmental leagues, minor leagues, have you heard the rumblings of the National Football League starting a developmental league similar to that of the NBA DL?
You know, when I initially heard that, I thought, man, you know, here goes the NFL again, you know, with a gimmick. But, you know, if you think about it, the NFL is all around the world. They, you know, they have a league in Europe. They have, you know, they're always pulling from certain farm systems, even including the CFL. And you know, we just had Jackie Chambers on from the AFL. And so, you know, this would be one of those, you know, minor league, you know, farm clubs that, of course, like the NBA, the NBDL has, that I think could profit. Now, You know, when talking about the NBDL, it hasn't been as successful as they thought. But it would be interesting to see how the NFL could put something together, because it seems like whatever they put out seems to be genuinely accepted by, you know, folks all around the world.
And I think it would definitely benefit football. Not that they need more fans or more money, because the NFL is primo number one in all of sports in North America. But if you look at it, look at all of the wannabe second-tier football leagues that have tried and folded, whether it was financing or who knows what the problem was. But, you know, going back to the UFL, even the try of the XFL and Vince McMahon. And, you know, there should be some type of secondary league, second-tier league outside of arena. Sure, the Arena Football League is great. The IFL is great. It's a great way to still let players showcase their talent and give them a chance to at least put a tape together, as Stephen Whitehead, Houston Lillard, and tonight Jackie Chambers has said that that's what they're trying to do, is keep hope alive and keep that dream going to get to that highest level. Yet there isn't any kind of togetherness between the NFL and these leagues. Sure, they find players out of these leagues, of course, probably the most famous being Kurt Warner. Yet, what happens after that? You know, what happens when we've got this top-tier player in the AFL or the IFL? How does he get a look from the NFL?
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's a big question, because, you know, the NFL at one point had the Europe League or the World Football League that was actually a farm club system. They had, you know, some of the teams had the patch of the team that they were affiliated in within the NFL as their farm system. And, you know, for whatever reason, the NFL did not put a lot of money into that and, you know, make that a grand spectacle. I believe in the beginning it was shown on ESPN for at some point, you know, NFL Europe was, and then it just kind of fizzled down. But to answer your question, you know, that is, you know, that's something that I've always wondered about, you know, why there isn't a connection to the AFL and why are these, you know, these organizations being, you know, left alone high and dry. And so, you know, if this minor league system is something that the NFL feels will work, then I believe that they've learned from their past mistakes as far as not investing enough, or maybe they kind of have a blueprint on how to do it a little bit better. So we should see a better product.
Yeah, that's the entire goal of any league, is to find those players, maybe those diamond in the rough, those Kurt Warner types that are bagging groceries, having success in the Arena League, and then all of a sudden, they're potential Hall of Famers.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, I love football. And obviously, the majority of us do love football, even though baseball is going on now, and that has the focus outside of the NBA Finals. You know, people eat, sleep, drink, and breathe football, you know, 12 months out of the year. And, you know, they cannot wait, you know, as soon as the season ends to start talking about football again. And so, you know, if there's a way to have that continuum, if you will, you know, leading from one season to the next, I'm sure the NFL will figure that out.
Sean Boyd, it's been a fabulous show. Show 54 of On the Double with the Double S Express, as we've had Jackie Chambers, wide receiver of the Tri-Cities Fever in the Indoor Football League, and point guard for the Chaminade Silver Swords men's basketball team, Devon Boyd, is big-time guest.
Yeah, you know, it's been a great Memorial Day, and, you know, and having these awesome guests on. And, of course, Jackie, you know, having visions of the postseason, and wish him the best of luck along with Stephen Whitehead and Houston Lillard and the rest of the Tri-Cities Fever. And so, you know, of course, Devon, he's doing his thing. You might catch him at a pro-am near you in Northern California. And so that seems to be, he's looking to be picked up with a couple of teams here or by a couple of teams here and just, you know, working out in the meantime and getting his game better and looking forward to a strong NCAA season.
And, of course, we can't forget the Belmont Stakes not too far off in the distance, as we have a triple crown possibility.
California Chrome, you know, looking to win the Belmont in New York. And, you know, that would be a great feat. And, you know, very excited about California Chrome. I mean, it seems like this horse can do no wrong. If you look at him, it just looks like he is just made to, you know, to tear up the track and do just that, man. And so that's going to be exciting. You know, it's not all the time that I get excited about horse racing, but California Chrome, best of luck.
Now, the horses do have a week off from big racing, as the Belmont Stakes will be June 7th.
Yes, you know, yeah, June 7th, and so, you know, a little bit of rest, you know, from the Preakness for these horses, and, you know, I think that spells danger for the rest of the horses and the jockeys that are in this race. I just think, hands down, that California Chrome, you know, are 1-2 odds on winning this thing, so, you know, should be an exciting race.
Now, Sean, before we bid farewell on this Memorial Day 2014, I'd be remiss if I did not ask you if you saw what happened in Washington, D.C. this past Wednesday.
Washington, D.C. I'm missing. What happened in Washington, D.C. this past Wednesday?
Ouch! You're pouring salt on the wound. The world champion Seattle Seahawks of the National Football League graced President Barack Obama and all of his dignitaries.
Yeah. Well, you know, I saw something. You know, it's very traditional for NFL Super Bowl champions to present the president with a jersey of the, you know, of the winning team, but man, leave it to Seattle in its uniqueness to go to Washington, D.C. and to present the commander-in-chief with the 12th man flag.
Of course. You've got to be a leader, not a follower. And that's definitely what the 206 wants to represent.
Well, man, you know, I was too busy, you know, watching and seeing what's going on with the development of my Raiders. But, yeah, that is an excellent feat. Congratulations to the Seattle Seahawks on making it to Washington, D.C. and capping off, finally, last year's season with presenting the president with the 12th man flag.
And one of the most comical points is apparently Beast Mode Marshawn Lynch did not make the trip, and his mother said he just didn't want to. But President Obama said, you know, he was, you know, wanting to talk to Beast Mode about how he handles the press, because he'd like to take some notes on how he should handle the press, as it's well known that Beast Mode doesn't talk to the media.
Yeah, that would have been interesting to actually, you know, for the president to pick up a couple of pointers from Beast Mode. I mean, you know, yeah, he's entitled. I don't know what his reasoning was for not wanting to go and be with his team. I'm sure he has a good reason. And, you know, the way the media is, I'm sure we'll find out in the coming days and weeks. But, yeah, again, congratulations to the Hawks on, you know, capping off the season with visiting the president and seeing the White House.
It's been a great show. Show 54 of On the Double with the Double S Express. We got to say a special thanks to big time guest number one, Jackie Chambers of the Tri-Cities Fever of the Indoor Football League. And very special guest number two, Devon Boyd, point guard for the Chaminade Silver Swords men's basketball team. Sean, it's been a fun show, to say the least.
Yeah, a fun show indeed. And, of course, this Memorial Day weekend, as we're capping it off, you know, whether you're driving back, tuning in with us on the BBS Radio app, you're listening in your car, or you're listening on the internet at bbsradio.com/DSX, or on double-s-express.com. Show number 54, Sean Wally. It's been a great one, man. So we will look forward to another show next week. For Sean Wally, Don Newsom, Alicia Flores, our producer, you're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests on the Double with the Double S Express.